Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast. Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, when we're not recording, I just listen to it on a loop.
It's so nice. He has to say it twice.
Go.
Okay, season 2, episode 5, No Place Like Home. While on her nightly patrol, I cannot see this.
Oh my god.
Buffy.
Who?
Why aren't you using your iPad?
Buffy, it's on the DVD. Buffy finds a glowing orb that leads her.
Oh my gosh. She's a little guys.
Okay. Let me start over.
Okay. Have more wine.
Okay, season 2, episode 5, No Place Like Home. While on her nightly patrol, Buffy finds a glowing orb that leads her to suspect.
Sound it out.
Super real.
We don't do that. Steph, start over, but this time get the season correct.
Season 5. Okay, here we go. Season 5, episode 2. There's No Place Like Home.
Episode 2?
Stephanie, come on.
This is classic Steph.
It's disc 2. Okay. Okay. Season 5, episode... No. Season 5. Hey, you know what? Episode 5, season 5. Okay. Season 5, episode 5, No Place Like Home. While on her nightly patrol, Buffy finds a glowing orb that leads her to suspect there is an unnatural force behind both her mother's growing illness and her sister Dawn. I did it.
Yay!
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Chris.
Chris!
Hey, Chris, welcome!
How are you?
Good.
No, it's not the British Chris.
Chris from Scranton.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple months. Got married back in November.
Did you? Congratulations!
Thank you.
Wow. Good stuff.
Okay, remind us, did you watch Buffy when it aired?
Since the first episode, actually. Season 1, episode 1.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you like, you were young, weren't you?
Well, I was a year behind what Buffy would have been in school, so she was like 10th grade. I was a freshman in high school at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Perfect age.
Yeah. So she went to college a year before, and I got to kind of get to see what it might be like, although no demon roommates. Not the
Are
best
you
roommate,
sure?
but no demon ones.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to East Stroudsburg University for my bachelor's, and then Marywood for my master's.
Oh, wow. Okay, well... Well, thank you for what you do. You have chosen a very noble profession. And as a parent, and speaking for all parents, I thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Now let's talk about...
So you have to tell everybody what he does now. 'Cause,
Well, I'm a therapist for children with mental health disorders.
Nice.
Aww. Yeah, very good work. I bet you, I'm sure you see some very sad things.
Yeah.
But you, I'm sure when you make progress, it's very rewarding work.
It can be. It can also burn you out quite a lot, too.
Yeah.
Do you get a good amount of time off, or?
Unfortunately not. It's only pretty much the major holidays. Don't get off the same days that kids are off of school. So it could be better. Just about get my license so I can move on to bigger and better things.
Wonderful.
Excellent. All right. Let's talk about No Place Like Home, also known as Ha
Ha! Okay. So is this the episode where they justify why Palmolive is who she is?
Ha ha!
All right. Yes. All right.
All right. So. Okay, so let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So 2 months ago, 2 months prior to where we are in Buffy season five, some monks performed this ritual. They had this ceremony. Mm-hmm. It's mysterious. We don't know what happened.
I have a question about that. Was that the same guy with three? Yeah, okay.
He looked like George from Grey's Anatomy.
Sort of, didn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
And he looked kind of, I don't know, Italian maybe? Or he looked some kind of, you know, European, I don't know.
Yes.
A little ethnic.
Ethnic, yes.
So the monks did this ritual, right? And does it mean that they implanted these memories in Buffy and her mother and all her friends? That
pretty
this
much
person kind of existed? Is that what we're to believe?
I think that's what we're to believe.
Okay. Uh-huh. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't tripping balls when I watched this episode.
Like Buffy?
Crazy, yeah.
And then, too, would they... Okay, because I had a really hard time hearing, and I watched it twice, the whole explanation at the end. So,
I had to rewind it to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, so Dawn was basically the key is an energy, and then they turned it into this human form, and she's completely unsuspecting that she's this energy. She thinks that she's actually this person because she really is a person, but she's a key, but she's energy.
Yes,
yes,
that's weird.
Brilliant.
Well, the part that I think is brilliant is that they figured that the safest place for this energy to be
would be
protected by the Slayer. So how do we make the Slayer want to protect her, make her her little sister? And I dig it. It's kind of cool. I don't like being lied to. But
it makes sense.
You know, the Back to the Future theory that Robin posted on the Facebook group was quite droll. But no, she's just not really her sister. And I loved Buffy's reaction. Buffy's reaction was instantly exactly what I wanted her to react, which was, "Who the fuck are you?"
Shoving her up against the wall, almost breaking her arm.
I know.
Because she thought she was a threat. She thought that she was there to hurt her mother.
Yep.
I thought that, you know, that, excuse me, in the magic shop, where they were trying to figure out what the orb was, she said something, "Well, I wish I was an only child," right? Excuse me. And then, so I thought that this orb, like, it, like, granted wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So that when she had her little trance and the picture started, you know, that when Dawn was disappearing, I was like, oh, she's getting her wish to be an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did not expect that ending where she's doesn't exist or didn't exist, and now she's just there.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much a nod, wink, wink to the audience that, like, Well, ha ha ha.
You are an only child.
and Buffy's the only one that knows the truth, and she has to keep her yap shut.
Do you think that she will tell people?
Yes. Oh, man. I think somebody will find out.
Who and in what order?
It'll slip out somehow.
That's like, what she said?
Giles.
Stop it, Illyrio.
She'll tell Giles.
She'll either be in some sort of drunken state or some under some spell, and it'll slip out. And I don't know, maybe Riley. She'll tell Riley on his deathbed right before he dies.
Before she tells Giles?
Or
he'll be the first one.
I don't know. I think maybe she'll tell. Oh, maybe she'll tell Tara to make her feel like she's part of the group. You know what I mean? Like, if Tara knows something that no one else knows, just between her and Buffy, she's like, oh, she accepts me.
Hmm.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm just super concerned that we still have no idea what's wrong with Joyce.
Joyce?
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's because the spell's wearing off on her. And maybe that is what's causing her to...
And she'll figure out, and then she'll look over and be like, who's this child?
Yeah, well, she did for a split second that time.
That's true. Who are you?
What child is this?
I'm just super concerned. Like, I hope it's not, like, super dark, and, like, I hope she doesn't have, like, a tumor or something. Like, I'm really, like, worried about her.
Gabby, it's not a tumor.
I worry about Joyce.
Well, that's interesting now, because when you look at it back with fresh eyes, it's like, what? This show is much more smarter than I thought it was.
So, Stephanie, have you guys gone into the foreshadowing yet? Is it safe to go into that?
I don't know what you mean. And I'm afraid to find out.
They're hinting at Dawn way back.
Oh,
like the little sis is coming thing in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Faith.
Yeah. Well, first, like in in Restless, when Buffy was having a dream and Tara was in the bedroom, she said, what is it?
Be back before dawn?
Be back before dawn, yeah. And then in Graduation Day Part 2, whatever, when she had the dream with Faith, and Faith was saying, you know, Little Miss Muffet, countdown.
A little sis coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's been foreshadowing of this. They've been planning it because I think they said that Buffy needed more. She needed more family to be attached to to make you care or something.
Because
like
nobody
that.
Gives a shit about Joyce.
I was going to say, they weren't going to put the energy in Joyce.
Because she's having these headaches and I'm worried.
And I think it's also because, you know, Buffy and the Scooby Gang, they're growing up and they need a character for the young kids to relate to keep a younger up.
Energy in Xander, because I feel like Xander needs some sort of special power, because everybody else on the show has something.
He's good at carpentry and woodworking.
He has the power of becoming buff.
Yeah, he's looking hot in this episode.
Yeah, he's heart. Totally. He had Ripley muscle action going on with that long sleeve t-shirt. I'm like, well, hello, Xander.
I mean, he came walking in there like a totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. How adorable was Giles in the wizard costume?
That entire part of the episode gave me nothing but joy.
Looking at each other?
Oh my God.
That look on his face, that grin.
Because Buffy's reaction was nothing like he was hoping for.
No. What was funny was Willow.
Willow right after. Where's your uniform?
Where's your cape and ass?
I mean, your costume. Now
exactly.
It's great.
Kind of remind me of Giles at Halloween in the sombrero.
Yeah.
His costumes are great. And you know what? Anya didn't piss me off in this episode. I actually enjoyed her quite
well. She got a job, man.
Yeah. She had some great one-liners, too.
Yeah.
She's on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're developing her character better.
No Tara this episode.
I know. It was the greatest.
Or was she really there? No. What if she already knows that Dawn is the key? Does she? Don't answer that.
Oh, that would be interesting. Mm. And maybe that's what she was talking about to Willow, is I'm worried about Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Willow's in on it.
I don't think.
Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone was in on it? Except Buffy? That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So who out of the main players will be the last to know?
Xander. No.
Riley.
Maybe Xander will be the first to be told, but the last one to figure it out.
Maybe. That would be funny, actually. So can we please talk about the other main important huge introduction here?
What's that?
The really awesome?
The King really Kong? Awesome person?
the evil crazy woman in the red dress.
Yep.
I love her so much.
It's just
she was fucking awesome. And when she had her little meltdown,
I know,
that guy's head, and then woo, I'm feeling better. Oh my god, she's crazy. I love her. She's
awesome crazy.
At first when she knocked the door down, I was like, what's Buffy doing? And then they showed her face. I was like, oh, this girl's trouble.
Yep. And I can't wait for her to kill Buffy.
Yeah, because, Buffy is so strong and confident, and she's learned so much that not much is a threat to her anymore. I mean, she stakes vamps like they're nothing.
Mm-hmm. I stick at you. Yeah.
So what do we know about her? All that we know is that they call her the beast, or what do they call
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she's called.
We don't know her official name yet, right?
I guess she's an X-Men of some kind.
Oh yeah, she can hang by her toes.
Yeah,
she's who shall not be named.
She's Voldemort.
You're not supposed to name him.
Geek high five, Kim.
I got one.
Maybe with that red dress, she's a Cylon.
Oh.
Wait, what's a Cylon?
Crickets.
She got so mad when her heel broke, and I understand that that anger that comes from that. Mm-hmm. So
it was so funny. I was like looking at the shoes because we always talk about fashion, and I was like, how on earth did we wear shoes like that? They're just like straps with like literally a heel.
Mm-hmm. And a skinny little heel and nothing to keep it on her foot.
Exactly. And I could probably go find a pair right now in my closet and take a picture of it and be like,
I have some in my closet.
Yeah.
And they're that weird, annoying low high heel. It's taller than a kitten heel, but not a stiletto.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell is a kitten heel?
They're so cute. What they're like. What are...
They're like an interlower.
Hey, Chris, how about that sports team?
But yeah.
She gave Buffy a run for her money.
All I kept thinking is, she needs a really deep conditioner because her hair is very frizzy.
There's nothing wrong with the frizzy hair.
All I kept thinking is, wow, their stunt doubles are beefier than they are.
Very beefy.
Yeah.
But S.O.D.
We know what that's about.
The last girl that actually kicked Buffy's ass that much was probably Sunday.
I loved her too.
No, wasn't really? It Faith?
I thought it was Faith.
That much. I mean, it was pretty much a one-sided fight here.
This is true.
Mm.
She can at least go and hold her own with Faith.
This is true.
You have superpowers. I thought she was going to say that was cute. And I'm like, oh.
She should have.
Yeah.
So did anybody feel bad for Riley this episode?
No.
Nope.
No.
No.
Even when he went to go beat something up to cool down, which made no sense. But anyways.
I'm
only when Dawn wouldn't shut up.
Beat up her. Could he take? Oh, he could have taken her back into the back room and
Now.
Sorry.
Yeah. So now that
we're
gonna
get another angry email,
we don't need one of those.
Yeah, whatever.
Now that we know what Dawn is, or why Dawn is on the show or part of the world, how do we feel about this, guys?
For me, it depends. Can she just go poof and go away? I think I'd feel really positive about that. You know, maybe we'll have at the end of the season or whenever the big bad is defeated or whatever, Dawn has to sacrifice herself because she's the key to something, blah, blah, blah. Or if this is now a permanent thing and we just have to deal with her and this was the explanation for it, I don't feel very good about it at all, but I guess I'm just going to have to get used to it and feel better than I used to, because at least I know that it's not just some idiotic way of, hey, she had a sister all along.
Well, you have to remember what the monk actually said now, that he called her human. She no longer is energy. She's just human.
So she likes to get herself into some trouble. So I just think that part, I think, of the storytelling might get a little old, because it's going to be like, Dawn, stay here. And then once again, she'll get herself into some trouble.
Dawn, stay in this bubble forever so you can never be harmed. I don't know. It still seems stupid to me, because if you're going to protect something amazing, why turn it into the most vulnerable thing ever?
Then the people looking for it would least expect it.
Then they could have made her a puppy. Kitty Fantastico or whatever.
That would have been awesome if Dawn was actually Kitty Fantastico and it was the result of
Tara because the kitten was not always there, but I accept the fact that there's now a kitten in the apartment.
What?
But it has to be something that Buffy would care for. Yeah. I think that...
So an annoying little sister makes sense, huh?
No, it doesn't. I think they could have literally put it into anything, like a locket or a stone she wore around her neck. That's just the same thing, right?
Or a favorite hairbrush.
a hair scrunchie.
Why would Buffy protect that?
I don't know, to keep the hair out of her eyes while she's fighting.
I think that they should have put it in Giles, because I think that would have added a great dynamic to their semi father daughter relationship. But anyways, I didn't write the story, but it's just because I can't stand Dawn. But anyways.
Right. Yeah, I'm happy that they explained why this new character exists. I still hate the fact that we have to deal with her.
I think it was an absolutely great twist, because no way in hell did I think that. No way.
So how do you protect something that doesn't know it, why it's being protected?
Like a child?
But, I mean, you saw her going in how she reacted to Harmony a few episodes back, just being dumb about things. She kind of needs to know something.
I think if she knows, like if everyone knows, then it, I don't know. I think they're better off not knowing.
Really? Yeah.
Because if they know, then they're just going to be, they're just going to anticipate danger and anticipate, like, that's when they'll really wrap her in bubble wrap and say, you cannot go anywhere.
I think she'd have a serious problem just realizing she's not a real human being. Yeah. She was just kind of poofed into existence.
Yeah, because Willow can't keep a secret for shit. So, and as neither can Xander. So, I mean, she should keep it to herself. Yeah, Anya, forget about it. Yeah, she should keep it to herself, but she's not going to. There's no way.
Joyce know?
Should Joyce know?
No. I think she should be the last person that knows.
I think if Joyce knows, it's okay because her big sister's the Slayer.
I don't know.
But that would break the illusion, weird. And then Dawn would like Dawn and Joyce shouldn't know. Nobody should know.
Well, here's the thing about that illusion. We saw that this veil that's over everyone is not infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce had a moment. Buffy was able to use that spell that lets you see spells to you know, see the whole Marty McFly thing happening. And what I'm wondering is, what's keeping that veil over everyone? Is it someone actively doing it? And, you know, if they lose their concentration, the veil kind of goes away a little bit? Or is it just a spell that's in place that can be broken? So that's what I think is probably going to happen. I think Dawn's going to be... I don't think Buffy is necessarily going to go out and tell anybody, because that's what she's prone to do. Mm-hmm. She's not going to really go out and tell people everything right away. Dating Angel. But, you know, the other thing is, rather than have her, like, slip up, what's probably going to happen is that whatever is keeping this veil down will actually go away or disappear or end. And then everybody's going to look at Dawn and say, who the hell are you? Where did you come from? What's going on? And I think at that point, Joyce is going to be having a flip out over Dawn, and then Buffy's going to step in and Buffy's going to explain everything to everybody. I think that's what's probably going
to
happen.
Well, they have access to this magic shop, right? So I don't know. I think Dawn and maybe Tara, because they're kind of like the outside characters, they'll become friendly and dabble like in some more witchcraft. I think maybe Dawn will figure it out for herself, you know, and then that'll leave room for her to confront Buffy about, like, why didn't you tell me?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
I'd hate to find out I was just conjured.
Exactly. How would, 13, 14-year-old Dawn react to that?
Oof.
Badly.
Because she's already living in the shadow of the Slayer. This would just be like, what?
You mean
like,
I really am nothing?
F, you know? Yeah.
I'm not a real girl?
No, Pinocchio. Not a real girl.
You're a real doggy, Artie.
You're a doggy, you're a real dog. Artie is a real dog. And a tattoo. So, what about this whole magic shop thing? Who here thought it would be a complete and utter failure?
Well, that's why I thought, like, the orb granted wishes, because didn't Giles say something, oh, I wish this place would pick up and be a success?
Mm-hmm.
And then when Buffy said, oh, I wish I was an only child.
Oh, is this a double thingy majiggy?
No,
because the opening clearly showed those guys doing their thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the magic shop is actually doing well.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the best grand opening I've ever seen.
They live in Sunnydale, so
that is true.
There's a market.
True. There's a market. The gift wrapping skills.
Oh my god!
Of certain
that's
people.
How I wrap gifts.
Are you telling terrible. Me? I'm are you telling awful. Me there were no empty boxes anywhere in that store?
Nope. Oh, we saw Ben again. Ooh, Ben.
Dr. Ben.
Yeah. Doogie. Yeah.
So Joyce is still having headaches, and Buffy goes to the hospital pharmacy to have her prescription filled and runs into Ben. And, oh, she sees the security guard that she saw in the cold open. Mm-hmm. And he is saying that they're going to come through your family to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why. And also Buffy made the statement that ever since her mother started getting sick, Dawn has been especially pesky. Mm-hmm. So,
that would just be normal child behavior.
Mm-hmm. But that's what led her. That added to when she, you know, did the trance thing and saw that Dawn wasn't a person, made her think that Dawn was the thing coming inside
after her mother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Well, just the style of the filming, I think, did that for the audience, too. especially with the Dawn asking her mom if she wants some tea, and it was just very creepy.
Yeah, they made
as if it was poison or.
Yeah, they made Dawn seem very sinister for a minute there. Okay, so let's talk about the trance.
Yes, let's.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, weird t-shirt.
That is such a weird outfit, and could it be any tighter? Oh my god.
Yes, if it was painted on. And it was just weird. Because did things go black and white for a while? Did I see that properly?
No, I think
it
was.
Or did I just imagine that?
I think it was so overexposed that it had like whitewash to it, but I couldn't quite figure out what was happening at first. Did you? I don't know. No one figured. No one saw the ending coming, right? But
no, I didn't.
I don't know. I was totally blindsided and going by the notion of like, oh, Buffy wished that Dawn didn't exist, so she's slowly fading away. That's what I got from it. And then for a second, I was like, okay, we're like in Fringeland, where we're living in parallel worlds.
What? Not just
kidding. Sorry, spoiler alert. So I don't know. It was I was totally blindsided. What did you guys think? Did anyone think that along those lines as well, or
I didn't think that at all.
No, I couldn't figure out like if she was really up and moving around the house, or if this was all like stuff going on in her mind's eye. Mm-hmm. But I liked the holy shit look on her face when she saw Joyce and was talking to her, but then there was no aura or anything around her like everyone else was expecting, and she was like, wait a minute, so what's going on? And then I think the thing that tripped me out the most was Dawn's bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. Yeah. I wanted to see more, and I was like, wait a minute. And that was the room that Joyce kept her stuff in,
Yeah. Like a storage room.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. It's the storage room. It's Dawn's bedroom. It's the storage room. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, very nice.
Very nicely done.
So the way that the world is now with Dawn existing and whatever, so that's like for real, right? So like, I don't know. Like, could she poof disappear and then things would go back to normal?
I assume so. Like if she, I think if she were to die or somehow lose the energy or the key.
Yeah, like, would everybody forget that she existed, and her bedroom would be the storage room again, and then...
Yeah, the only person I think that would know would be Buffy.
If she kept her mouth shut.
If she disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really am so, like, woo-y. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that they kind of hint at the monks actually making her actual flesh and blood human from energy. So it's not necessarily like a Jonathan like spell. The memories are fabricated.
Okay. So this is like life now, and if she were to die, they'd remember her and they'd mourn her and all that stuff. Like she just exists now.
I guess.
So if she were to disappear, it wouldn't be like, oh, it was all a dream.
No, I guess it's just her origin story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the monks said that the memories were fabricated, created.
Mm-hmm.
And now watching it from my point of view, when she hurts Dawn, it's especially troublesome. You know, it's then when you're watching it for the first time, thinking Dawn is just what do you call it? She's disposable or whatever. Because at the point where you see Buffy hurt her, you don't know what's going on. You think that she is a threat. But when I watch it from knowing that Dawn is a person,
innocent.
Air quotes, innocent, that oh my gosh, that's so disturbing that Buffy actually could have hurt her.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't know. So we don't know what this key does. We just know that this energy or whatever is important.
Yep. And there's a gate, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'll find out later.
Well, keys tend to open things.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
And the beast wants the key. And, yeah. Right?
So yeah. They've set us up nicely for the rest of the season.
No, I'm not assuming that because she asked the monk where the key was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I mean, isn't it interesting that like she sticks her hands in people's brains and like drains them, and that's how she gets like her sanity or whatever.
Yes.
And these people are like menial workers, like a security guard. Mm-hmm. And what was the other guy? Was he a...
He looked like a janitor or like a maintenance guy.
Yeah. So I guess the idea is that these people will be... won't be missed as much as if they were. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But
class warfare on potential cast.
What?
Sorry, go ahead, Kim.
I think he's got a wife named Jennifer with two kids.
He'll be missed. Maybe. Unless he was
Well, they're not missing. They're not missing. They're just insane.
Oh, that's true. They go into the hospital.
So she goes wackadoo, and she and her sort of release is to implant her crazy thoughts into someone else's head?
Or she steals something from them or something.
Or she takes their clarity or something like that?
Steals her sanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crazy beat.
So did you notice one of the things in her kind of word salady rant?
Pardon?
One of the references she says about... sitting on a tuffet.
Yeah.
I missed that.
I didn't, but I forgot.
I was just like, what a crazy kook.
She is crazy, and I love it.
God.
The way they edited it, I was like, oh, God. Because at first I was like, okay, now I see where they're going. It was just totally, what?
Yeah.
She's I just not. Remember that the one guy a few episodes back referred to curds and whey.
Right. Mm. In the real me. Uh-huh.
So we're going to hear the whole nursery rhyme throughout the season?
Probably.
Oh, okay. No. So, you know, early in the episode,
yeah.
Dawn lets it fly about how Riley... is what does she say?
She's repeating kittenish because kittenish is so much more manly or whatever. Yeah. And that he can't be like basically nobody can do anything with Buffy because they'll get hurt or whatever. But specifically him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then when she's about to do the trance, she tries to get him to help just to make him feel useful.
That was lame.
Yeah. That was pretty lovely. She could have done all of that.
I'd rather be killed by a vampire than be Riley at that moment.
It was so rude too. It's like, okay, you're gonna help me do these things, but not really help me do these things. It was kind of bitchy.
Oh, she had all the best intentions.
Yeah. The road to something is paved with good intentions.
Yes.
The road to...
Hell!
That's it.
She didn't mean any harm by it.
Well, it seemed useless and ridiculous
like
for her to ask him to come over to help her do nothing.
He needed Riley has no use time.
Now. He has no center. He has no mission.
She had to stroke his ego.
Yeah.
Why?
He's the mission's boyfriend.
Okay, why did I write Anya is good? Anya has a good head for business.
Because
she brought up the markup for the crystal balls because they were such hot sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And she can hook Giles up.
That's right.
Yeah, she has a supplier for one of those powders. And she was also very astute. I think it was something regarding
the cash register. She said it looked
like a squirrel's nest. Yes. And she mentioned something about such and such is dangerous. You should have people on a 7-day waiting list. Which is just awesome. Yeah, no, this was, I think, a turning point for Anya. Yes. She's going to have a job.
She needs a purpose. Just like everybody needs to find their purpose.
Charlie Brown, you need involvement.
Huh?
Charlie Brown, you need involvement. Yeah.
She was just getting to that annoying stage, you know? For me, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of with everybody, it seems like college is fading away. As far as that part of their lives,
that's
right
now. That's what happens your second year.
That's first year. Willow and Buffy college. Are still enrolled, but where do you see it?
It's funny. It's funny you should say that, because I was actually thinking that at one point, especially when they were at the house and when, you know, Buffy was with Palmolive and her mom. And I'm like, wait a minute, isn't school back in session? Like, is this still summer break or what's going on? I'm like, is she dropping out of college and we didn't realize it? Yeah, I was so like, I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Well, I think right now school is not part of the storyline so much.
Well, yeah, she's at home taking care of her mom with these mysterious headaches.
Because last year, like, with the initiative and stuff, it was on campus, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. Under campus.
Yeah, yeah, so we're like, in we're away from
four,
school.
We hardly came back to the house.
That's true.
And I missed the house.
Much more Joyce.
Yes.
A lot.
I think we have more Joyce in these first five episodes than all of season four.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I missed her.
Season one and two, too.
I want her to be okay. I really am genuinely concerned.
Poor Joyce.
I'm sure
maybe she's slowly being turned into, like, some evil tool of evil.
An evil tool of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So is Joyce still the worst mother after seeing her with Dawn?
Yep.
I think she plays favorites a little too much.
Uh-huh.
Yes, bitch. All mothers favor their babies because they don't want their babies to grow up.
Although Dawn is the manipulator there. I mean, definitely Buffy helped as far as the breakfast.
Yeah. Not cool. Stop antagonizing your almost sister, Dawn.
She's supposed to protect you unless you piss her off.
No, because she knows she's not really related to you. She might just say, fuck this. Yeah. Indeed. Well, I thought it was pretty good.
I really enjoyed it. I was expecting it, and I was pleasantly surprised, I must say, even though I had to watch the last little scene with the book twice. Just to make sure that I got everything.
Just turn on the subtitles.
I didn't want to miss anything because I was like, you know what? This is probably really important. I should watch it again.
Yeah. See, there wasn't really a monster of the week in this episode.
No.
Well, a new big monster.
Well, but yeah, we have. Yeah.
I'm assuming she's the big bad,
right?
I'm assuming she's the big bad.
Yeah.
I really hope she's the big bad.
Yeah, see, in this season, it's just a lot of the episodes kind of runs together, and it's less monster of the week and more serialized.
More continuity, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of stuff, where was Spike?
He was there.
There.
He's been like hiding. 1 minute. Been... You're kidding me. We forgot that part.
Oh, my God. It's the best part ever.
This Spike.
Someone's gonna steal my effing quote, and I swear to God.
No.
Okay. So Buffy is realizing that Spike is up to something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know what. Why would he be hanging out in front of her house?
And like, so he's hanging out in front of her house behind the tree, just smoking cigarettes, waiting for her to come out so he has an excuse to talk to her. He's like a little boy with a crush.
Yep.
It is hilarious!
That's where Spike is.
It is so cute.
I wonder, is it genuine or is it part of the chip that's in his head?
I don't know. I think he's smitten.
Yeah.
I didn't hear, but what was your reaction to the dream sequence in the last one?
Oh, when he woke up and he's like, yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Here, let's listen to it. I don't have it queued up. We'd have to listen to them.
I don't know. I can't remember what I said last time, thinking, but now that I think about it,
here we go.
Like, it seemed like it came, I don't know, came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, I'm in love with you. What? Where'd that come from?
Remembering how much fun we had with the episode Something Blue, I think it would be pretty awesome.
Oh my God. That was funny.
Well, Buffy needs some sort of love interest now that Angel's not there. She needs some sort of bad, guy from the wrong side of the tracks to distract
her. TikTok, TikTok. Buck is a gross vampire.
If they have chemistry, it works. And they do. They have great chemistry.
Why not the cute intern?
Oh, because he's got weird floppy hair.
Okay, guys.
He's better than Riley.
Is he?
No, I like. But didn't you like Riley like 5 minutes ago?
I liked Riley. I believe the turning point was a few episodes ago, where he started getting really super
possessive,
and being like a chest thumping douchebag. Yeah. Fuck that! Just go about your business, Riley.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's review.
What?
Buffy's boyfriends. Uh-huh. So, Luke Perry, but that doesn't count.
Luke Perry.
You know, there was a movie. Okay, so who came first, Angel or Scott Hope? Angel, yeah.
Angel.
Ugh.
Angel.
Wait, who's the one that liked Emily Dickinson?
Oh yeah, Ben.
What?
Is his name Ben?
What did I do?
On the first date.
Wrong. That guy? What did I do wrong, guy?
Don't kill a boyfriend on your first date.
At the end.
Where is that?
What did I do wrong? Why is he going out to dinner with his parents after he had sex with me and then never wants to talk to me again?
Never kill a boy on the first date. His name was Owen.
Oh.
When?
I don't even remember him.
You don't remember Owen, the big tall blonde guy?
Owen was very cute. He was cute.
No, I liked him. He was tall with blonde hair. Oh, maybe she does have a type.
Okay, and then there's Scott Hope. No.
Yes.
Hope.
No. Yeah, Scott
Hope.
Well,
there was Angel, right?
Angel.
And then Scott Hope.
Angel, and then Scott Hope.
Yes. Mr. Hit It and Quit It.
Yes.
And then Riley.
Riley.
No.
Oh, what?
You've forgotten the big douchebag.
Which big douchebag?
Oh, Scott Hope wasn't Hit It and Quit It. He was the one that was kind of the rebound guy from Angel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Hit It and Quit It was Parker.
Oh,
Parker
Amos. Okay. So Scott Hope, Parker, then Riley.
See, what I remember saying on my podcast when I recorded Confessions of an Internet Addict, when I was probably about this point, I was like, I want Buffy because her mission as being the Slayer is so important that it trumps any romantic needs that she has, that it's more important for her to be the Slayer than to be a girlfriend and to any romantic involvements.
Yeah, and she learned that lesson with Angel. I don't know, but if she were to be with
Spike,
he's not under a spell. Well, actually, let me take that back. He's got a chip in his head, so I don't know what would happen if, like,
it's the Orb of Thessala 2.0.
I don't know. I just hope that her and Spike don't hook up, but I think that's where it's going.
Probably.
The difference between Spike and Angel is that Angel has a soul.
Yes.
He just has a chip.
Right. So Spike's feelings would be, it would be completely fabricated as opposed to genuine.
Well, no. I think
Spike feels what he feels.
As far as how Spike feels, that's the way he may feel. But Buffy can't love somebody unless they have a soul. I don't think.
I mean, Spike has loved Drusilla.
Yeah. Yes.
But the morality concept is Drusilla not there.
Drusilla coming back?
I was going to say, if Spike and Buffy ended up getting in a relationship, I believe that his love for Drusilla is way stronger than love for anybody else, and he'd be like, peace out!
But this is the exact point when Drusilla should come back, because when Spike and Buffy
they should get together and then Drusilla comes back.
Exactly. The second they get too close and start to have feelings for each other, cameo Drusilla.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. Spike is a disgusting vampire.
Angel's a vampire.
Yes, but he had a soul and he was hot. Spike is and, hot, but in a
Nancy
different
boy
way.
Hair gel.
Stephanie, I appreciate you trying to throw us off the scent, but it's not working.
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me that Buffy and Spike would be an item.
Of course it doesn't make sense, but she's a vampire slayer, and what's the one thing that she should not fall in love with? A vampire.
I don't see her falling in love with anybody except Angel anyway, so.
Here we go.
And that kind of grosses me out, but whatever. I hate him. The couple that I care less about, but.
Yeah.
Understood. I see Angel kind of like a Stefan from Vampire Diaries, and then Spike is as a little bit Damon. More Damon-y.
Yes.
What? Definitely. What language are you people talking?
And what's her face? What's her name?
Elena.
She goes between the two brothers, so why couldn't she go between Angel?
Yes, but Elena cannot be with Damon. I mean, that's just...
I'm so editing all this stuff out, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know.
But it's
well, Julie Plec was a big Buffy fan.
It's so wrong that it's right. Come on.
This is classic, you guys.
It's so wrong that's right. If it's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yep.
Broke the entire.
I broke it. Sorry.
Does anyone have any other points before we get to feedback?
I think we should make up more stuff. No, I think we should.
Let's make up more stuff.
Yeah, I want to make something up. I want the Beast to be on every single episode.
Forever. I want Forever. A spinoff.
Yes, I want a Beast spinoff.
Crazy is scary.
Jeez.
Crazy is scary.
Awesome! I love
totally
her.
Totally awesome.
I like her as much as I love the mayor. And I love the mayor. The mayor is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the mayor.
The mayor. Yes, Mayor McCheese. Mayor McCheese. John Mayer. I love her as much as I love John Mayer.
Oh, man.
No. Yeah.
Is that the
more.
Guy that wrote the song that someone's body is a wonderland?
That would be stupid John Mayer.
When you're Canadian and you hear that song, it's like, you mean Canada's wonderland? or Canada's like national theme park?
Apparently Jennifer Love Hewitt has a wonderland-esque body.
Oh, it was Jennifer. I thought it was Jennifer Aniston.
No, it was Jennifer Love Hewitt. Oh.
Whatever, her name is Jennifer.
He only dates women named Jennifer. It's his thing, so he never forgets.
It's awesome.
So far, who is more fun to watch? The Beast, Angelus, or the Mayor?
Angelus.
The Beast!
Angelus.
I've only seen her once, but I really like her a lot.
No, Angelus is just...
Ugh.
Angelus.
Awful.
You know, Claire Kramer, she was in Bring It On.
With Eliza Dushku.
Yes! I was like, who is this girl? Yes. Now I picture her.
But this is Angelus was good at being bad because he was a despicable prick. Like, there's no way around it. The Beast is just crazy and amusing. And the mayor, I thought was, there was just something kind of soft-hearted about him somewhere, but he was despicable, but hilarious.
I think he was just old-fashioned for being
old-fashioned
so old.
Old-fashioned and so polite.
Folksy.
Folksy, yeah.
Yeah.
He was like the Lawrence Welk big bad. with like bubbles Lawrence blowing around.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, so, okay, we talked about the key.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you talked about, I forgot, Cabernet Sauvignon made me forget, but what, what did you think the key was a key to?
Maybe I thought a door? It was like a physical key.
Okay.
I didn't think of it as being like... I honestly have no idea.
Maybe a portal to hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Because
okay. We haven't had to deal with one of those in two seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of awesome.
Or they would tell her where it was hiding. Like, like an actual physical object that she could use to open something. Never in a million years would I think that it would be put into a person.
But, see, this is what I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around. It's like, okay, this key was this mystical force, but now that mystical force no longer exists, and it's just a human child. So, what good is it? Like, no, seriously.
The energy is still in her.
Oh, okay.
It just took
but
human
she's
form.
She's human, okay. So she can't die.
Because I was under the impression that, yeah, well, the energy doesn't really exist. We just turned it into this human girl. Oh, you got to protect her. Well, but so when she dies, what the hell happens?
I think
Dawn
happens? Can still be used as a key.
Or the Beast just picks Dawn up, jams her head into a lock and turns.
Awesome.
She does that. She does that crazy she tries that first. Sucky thing.
That would be amazing.
Snap.
Because if you haven't noticed, she's shaped when she stands sideways exactly like a key.
Oh my god, you're right.
So fucking weird.
That'd be awesome.
Let's keep watching. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Hey, where's the song?
We have feedback. Wait, let's
go. Well, no, let's just play the song and go. No.
I got
feedback. We have one email. Oh, sorry, does anybody have any points before we get into some feedback?
No.
I have an email. I have an email from Ray. Hey there, Gaxon guest.
Up, Ray.
What's up? I have left Facebook feedback before, but never an email, so I figured I'd give it a shot. Where to start with No Place Like Home? First off, I love this episode. This is one of the better examples in the whole series of mixing serious plot progression and great comedy.
Yes.
Before getting to the plot, I have to point out the funny. Spike only has one scene in the whole episode, and it's amazing. Mm. So very funny that it's great that the audience know why Spike is stalking Buffy, but Buffy doesn't know and is just confused. Amazing. Also, pretty much all of the goings-on at the Magic Box are hilarious, from all of Anya's comments to Willow's rapping to the awesome sight of Giles as a wizard. As for the plot, I am really interested in hearing what Gak think of the reveal of where Dawn came from. I personally love the way that everything came out. When Buffy is under the spell and realizing that Dawn isn't her sister, I was freaking out the first time I watched it. The CGI doesn't quite hold up all that well. Sorry. But SMG plays the hell out of both that scene and the scene at the end with Dawn. I think Sarah Michelle Gellar looked really hot in this one, and she really brought her A-game as far as emotion. When the monk finally explains to Buffy what Dawn is, you can really feel Buffy's initial reaction, which is hurt and confusion. And for Buffy to accept Dawn as her sister at the end of the episode is very touching. I don't know if I got that. I don't know if she accepted her as her sister.
I think that she accepted her as she's my responsibility. Yeah. I have to take care of her.
Yeah.
And I will treat her like my sister.
Right.
I would not do that. I would not do that. I want my life back without this annoying person. Anyway, finally,
generally concerned for Joyce.
Yes. Finally, the introduction of the Lady in Red. I don't think that they say her name in this episode, so I won't spoil it. I love her, though. She comes off as powerful and slightly insane. Slightly? Ray? Ray, slightly? What kind of women are you? just teasing. For some reason, slightly insane is hot in a chick, especially if she is blonde and in a sexy red dress. She's hot, funny, powerful, and has lots of personality. She's everything I want in a Buffy villain, and the total opposite of Adam. This is true. Cheers. Good point. Overall, a great episode, a lot of info to digest, some great comedy, and some very touching emotion. Things are about to pick up going forward, and the episode ends with us still not knowing what's wrong with Joyce, but finally knowing what Dawn is. Great stuff, and more to come. Ray. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
It's Ray.
Thanks.
Do we have anything on the Facebook? Yeah. I think we have.
Please read, because I cannot.
Just for that, I think Steph should read it all.
No. Rachel says, if only Buffy hadn't crashed the DeLorean in band candy. If that doesn't make sense to you, join the Facebook group and read what Robin posted. Simone says, No Place is one of my absolute favorite episodes from the entire series. I love it. Giles just like a wizard. Anya scoring a job at the magic box. The Dagon sphere. Yes, Ben, she got bit by a radioactive spider. The monks. The who. Or what Dawn is reveal. Genius. Willow's gift wrapping skills. Xander, just cause. Spike. I will not read what you put there, Simone, because I'm pretty sure we're all going to fight for the quote of the episode. Kitten E. Riley. Tirer la couverture. The spell. And I can't forget the reveal of the beast. What's Claire freaking Kramer. I don't know who that is. Awesome sauce.
What is Tirer la couverture?
Tirer la couverture. Literally
pull
means
back the curtain.
It actually means pull the blanket.
Oh.
Close enough. But metaphorically, it actually would be pull the curtain.
Ah.
Yeah. Nutty Nuchas says, I don't remember it taking this long to get to the reveal. Watching with the potentials helps put all of the timing into perspective. I can't wait to hear what they think about this and their thoughts on following episodes. You're going to have to wait for those, Nutty. Taryn says, I absolutely love this episode. Are you satisfied, Gax? I certainly was the first time I saw this. And I love the end with Buffy stroking Dawn's hair. Sisterly love makes me happy. I'm thinking she's just checking if she was still there, fully real. Rich really says, existed. Yeah. Rich says, I always try to stay away from my parents when I'm tripping. But Buffy is scared of nothing. Right into the line of fire. Sorry, I'm having flashbacks. I'm very happy I waited for my father to pass away before I ever did any drugs. But I do remember a conversation with my mother that was not normal. All right. This episode is like the most plot-heavy episode so far. Multiple stories take large steps forward, including Buffy finding out about Dawn, the magic box opening, Anya becoming more integrated into society, Joyce is still feeling crappy, and a super strong chick in a red dress wants Dawn. The dialogue is also really witty and clever throughout. Spike in this episode for 30 seconds, a perfect 30 seconds.
Yes.
The biggest pro to being a vampire has got to be smoking as much as you want. Funny, creepy, and emotional. One of the most underrated episodes of the series. Really? People don't rate it too high? I friggin' loved it.
I loved it. Mm-hmm.
Rachel pipes up again and says, I have a major issue with this episode. That spell is meant to be so tricky that only one guy ever perfected it, and that was because he was a super powerful wizard. Buffy, bless her, isn't exactly the sharpest crayon in the box. And yet she perfects it immediately. It irritates me that she didn't at least ask Willow to help her.
Well, see, I took it as it was so hard for him because, you know, the first time you do something, that's the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And so much time has passed that they've perfected it. So it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of like, you know, anything else. Like
loosening the lid of the jar?
Yeah, or like building a bomb or whatever.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
Well, hello.
I didn't think that they said that he was the only guy to have ever done it, but he's the guy that created it.
Oh.
Mm. You know, somebody has got to, be the first. And when you're the first, it's the hardest. So anytime after that, it's easy.
This reminds me, you know, you bring up a very good point, and I'm going to bore everyone with something about university. But while I was there and studying anthropology, one of my classmates, who was also a guitarist that I knew, who was a total megalomaniac, but he brought something up to me I never considered before. And it was, how lucky was the first guy to make bread? Because you take a look at everything you need to make bread and the proportions and all this stuff. And like, you know, the first guy who made bread, what the fuck was he thinking?
Yeah. And then after that, it was easy because we knew how to do it.
Exactly. Rachel pipes up again. I'm just kidding, Rachel. Love your comments. Also, is it just me or does the Dagon sphere look awful? Is it Dagon or Dagon?
Like Diagon Alley. Nerd point number two. Sorry.
Dagon. The Dagon guys, sphere.
I think Kimberly said diagonally.
No, I
think Nerd point number one and a half. Dagon sphere look awfully similar to the orb of Thessala. Dun, dun, dun.
I think everyone's going to look like the orb of Thessala, don't we?
Is it one prop that they just keep reusing?
Probably so. And then they just come out with different things.
I totally want to find out.
I don't know. This one looked big in plastic with a light in
the middle. That's what she said!
It was not glass.
Matt Trist says, I totally forgot the scene where Buffy plays Johnny B. Goode.
Hashtag foilers.
Dylan says, so anybody keeping the score, which one of Gak got down with the closest theory?
I don't know.
Beth, let us know. Susan says, one of my favorites, the silence interaction between Buffy and Wizard Giles. That was awesome. Everything about the woman in red. There is something about the way Sarah Michelle Gellar delivers her lines that I find so charming. Ina tells us, I tend to forget how good this episode actually is. We get the answer to who Dawn is. The Beast gets introduced. Love Claire Kramer's over-the-top portrayal of her. Spike is stalking Buffy. And that scene has one of my favorite quotes ever. And the magic box opens. Giles in a wizard costume and Buffy's silent response is priceless. Love the way the spell is presented with the eerie music and lighting and Buffy's moment with Dawn at the end. Chris Dunning says, yes. Why was it Riley and not Willow helping Buffy with the spell? I thought Sarah Michelle Gellar's acting at the end was great when the monk tells her that they've put the key into her life so she'd protect her. Sarah has this great mix of emotions. Confusion, revelation, anger, etc. Then she takes on the responsibility that was foisted on her by the monks. She apologizes to Dawn and chooses to protect her, not only from the abomination, but also from knowing what she is. Ugh, I don't know, man. Poor life decisions, Buffy. Rebecca says, Season 1, stop the master vampire from escaping from his, would you call it a cave, pit, lair, whatever. Season 2, defeat Angelus. Season 3, keep Mare from meeting Sunnydale. Season 4, defeat She couldn't get the writing out of him. Dream about First Slayer. Yes, I chuck all of Season 4 up to excuse me, I chuck all of season four up to Buffy realizing what a huge thing being the Slayer is. Not that she didn't take it seriously before, but I don't think she saw herself as part of a bigger picture before Restless. Uh-huh. Season five, protect your sister. I love that despite being mystically created, Dawn really is her sister and an innocent. Protecting Dawn is the most personal and human motivating influence Buffy has ever had. It's really interesting to see how that plays out over the season. Love it. And Sarah Michelle Gellar really did act the hell out of this episode. Karen says, I remember when I first watched this in real time. Oh, like an episode of 24. I really like the way they revealed who what Dawn was and Buffy's reaction, especially with Dawn at the end. And I agree with Joyce. Buffy actually seems more grown up in this episode. Mm-hmm. Well, except for the times when she complains that she wishes she was the baby. Or the
ugh.
Child. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everyone, for your comments. Ooh. Happy to be able to read all of them. And hey, folks, you want to let us know what you think? You can send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter. We're at PotentialCast. There's PotentialCast.com, where you can subscribe to the show or download the show directly. Check out the show notes. And the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/PotentialCast. We have a phone number, 27040-BUFFY. No phone call from Paul Mackey.
Aww.
Which, you know what that means, no phone call, period. But that's okay.
All good, guys.
All right. I think it's time to rate the episode and then quotity quote quote and then play a song and get out of here. We gotta make like a tree and get out of here.
I love this episode. I think nothing to me will ever top Innocence, but this was second to it. I'm going to give it 9.121 gigawatts.
Holy shit. That's it. Nobody can give any other ratings.
You broke it.
You broke the rating system with awesome. Wow. All right. I thought this movie was amazing. I like Christopher Lloyd. I've always liked Crispin Glover. Sorry, Emma Thompson. So, at first this episode felt like it was going in a weird direction, and then all of a sudden all these things kind of kept happening, which made me really happy. Especially that spike seed. And I gotta say, I'm giving this episode 9.5
Ooh.
Broken heels.
There is nothing I didn't love about this episode, but it's not quite perfect. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know, just because it missing something to make it perfect, but I enjoyed the crap out of it. Watched it 3 times.
No bronze.
Missing the bronze.
Oh my God, that's it. Thank you. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 10, I'm using numbers this time. I give it 9 out of 10 crazy ass bitchy beasts.
Nice. Mm.
I can find no fault in this episode. I give it 10 out of 10 pumpkin bellies.
I want to be home.
Well, I would say that it has the best entrance of a big bad awesome. So far.
Yeah.
And best 30-second utilization of Spike. So, and tremendous reveal of build-up. So I would give it 10 out of 10 stalkerish cigarettes.
Yeah, you know, that is, it's very iconic, that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're all clamoring to be the first to do quotes.
I think Kim called
I'll
it.
I'll go first.
I think Kim did call it.
Go now.
What?
There's my quote. Wait,
what? Is that your quote?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Isn't that what Anya says at when?
Oh, she says, please go. Oh, no, that's
no,
not
no,
the
no.
Quote
it was go
get.
Now, wasn't it?
Please go. No, I was gonna use a spike quote, but I'm gonna be polite and give it to someone else.
Canadian politeness. Oh, Gabby, so go take it. Canadian. Gabby.
Oh right, yeah. Darn, my fellow ravers will be so disappointed. It was my turn to bring the bundt cake. I too am being polite, and I'm American.
Or so you say.
But you know, you're from Buffalo, so that's way up there, close to Canadian.
I'm from Albany.
Oh, Albany.
You're Albanian.
I'm from the state capital. My family lives in Buffalo now.
Oh, Steph? Okay.
I'm sorry. But thank you for saying I'm not from Florida. But Steph? That's because it pisses me off.
No, I know you're not from Florida. I don't know what I meant by that.
Me, because she doesn't say the name of her city and what at the end of it?
Eddie, no, I don't.
Steph, go. Go now, I mean.
It appears to be paranormal in origin. How can you tell? Well, it's so shiny.
You stole my quote.
No.
Hello.
All right, Chris, go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me guess. You won't kill me? Ooh. The whole crowd-pleasing threats and swagger routine? Outstandingly original. You know, I'm just passing through. Satisfied? You know, I really hope so, because God knows you could need some satisfaction in your life besides shagging Captain Cardboard. And I never really liked you anyway. And your hair is stupid.
Go ahead, Illyrio, say it.
It's like you guys know my birthday is next month. Out for a walk, bitch.
Love it.
Oh, just fantastic.
Walk, bitch.
That was great. Any more? I have one more.
Okay.
Check out all the magic junk. New slogan.
Got all the magic junk.
Please go. Anya, the Shopkeepers Union of America called. They want me to tell you that. Please go. It just got replaced by Have a Nice Day. But I have their money. Who cares what kind of day they have? No one. It's just a long cultural tradition of raging insincerity. Embrace it.
Awesome.
Please go.
How about this? What are you doing, my boyfriend?
And then she's like, can I watch? No.
And then Will, I can't help it. I just have this all involuntary empathy for Dawn. Because she's, you know, a big spaz.
Oh.
I got some names for you.
What's our homework, Stephanie?
Huh?
So what's our homework for next time?
Let's see. Oh, shoot.
Well, first we should thank our guest. Chris?
Chris.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. Short notice. We appreciate it very much. And remind us, are you a podcasting person yourself, or do you just guest?
So far, just guest. I've only been on 2 years so far, but I'll be having a few episodes on Resurrection Cast as a guest.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. It was lovely having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What homework do we have for next time, Stephanie?
Oh, next week it's family. What do you think? What do you think that means?
Gangsters.
Don't stop. Wait. Stop trying to steal stuff from intro talks. No, go ahead. Go ahead. What does family mean? To me, a family is people that love each other. Protect each other and look out for each other's best interests without judgment without. So that's what I think about family.
Ohana means family.
That's a blast from the past.
Hana and her sisters? No.
Another Michael J. Fox reference. Family ties.
That's what family means.
All right.
I don't want to speculate, because then what if I'm disappointed next week? Anyways, family. Looking forward to it.
Definitely. Can't wait to watch it later today. If I have time, you know, in between playing video games. I'm an addict. Okay. Recently converted addict. All right. Everyone, thanks for joining us. And until next time, goodbye.
I'll say, everybody. Happy New Year. You made a fool of me. But the broken dreams have got to. Oh,
All right, Steph, you mentioned that our guest is Christopher Malley.
Yes.
But a much more important question for all of you right now. Gabby couldn't help me, so I'll ask him and Steph. I have two bottles of Stella Artois beer and no bottle opener. What do I do?
And no bottle opener?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So you take it to, like, the corner of the table?
Yes.
And you go...
Yes!
But I'm going to ruin my table.
Hold on, I'll try my iWatch. Shampoo run. Hurry. Hold on.
Yeah, you'll probably ruin your table.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do that.
I recommended getting a sword and taking the top off like champagne.
Classic you.
Why don't you
go upstairs and get the bottle opener from upstairs?
Well, there's that. Yeah, why don't we YouTube a video how to open a beer bottle without a
I think you can open it with another bottle.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Oh my god. Guys, I'm opening it as if it's a twist top.
So it is a twist top?
It's not.
Wow.
This is pure desperation.
I'm just
twisting the top. It's not coming off.
Well, I have four Belgian ales in my fridge that have twist offs, but I'm not going to drink them tonight. Although I could open one and you could hear it and I could drink it and torture you. Would you like that?
I think I would, actually.
That's just weird.
It is. Sorry. TMI.
Did we find someone to fill in?
Yes, we have someone to fill in. So.
Okay. What did you decide about the...
I'm going to go upstairs and get the bottle opener.
It's just going upstairs
entails revealing myself to the children, which means distraction from bedtime. I'll be right back. I am recording. And I'm going to add Christopher Malley now. That way you all can chat him up.
I've had a bottle of wine.
Oh my God.
An entire bottle.
And you did?
You're trashed.
I am.
By yourself?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Is it the kind of bottle you find in a mini bar?
No. It's a... Oh, shit.
Oh, this is going to be the greatest episode ever. I'm adding Christopher Malley now.